Jobs can stand in front of a crowd and woo a crowd. Gates stands in front of a crowd and he creeps them out. Look at this bottle of feces I got from this refinery. It's a jar of feces. Isn't that weird? People are like, what? Is this guy, is that the richest guy in the world with a jar of feces next to him? This guy's whacked. Right? So it's like almost God's plan that he has these maniacs who come up with these schemes, and then regular folks, so-called regular folks, say, it doesn't even make any sense. We'll just do this, and we'll get around you. The challenge for us, I think, at least for me, I think you would agree, is getting people to understand that these people are really stupid at the end of the day because they don't have practical knowledge of much, so we can just get around them. You don't have to listen to these people. Just go around them. Fuck them.
Right, and that's what a lot of people are doing. Well, we can't say a lot because we don't know, but the folks that are plugged in and getting out in front of all these things, and again, for years, you know, people have been prepping long before. Like I like to tell you, we're 2 years behind. No, we're forever behind because if you were not originally a prepper, you're super behind. But I am very happy to see the amount of people that are engaged right now. We went to a local farm yesterday, middle of the week, and it was impressive. It was impressive to see the amount of people coming to get their eggs and the vegetables look great. And he was saying that, you know, everything he's going to have on Sunday. He had stuff there, but he was going to have much more on Sunday. And the other thing that's great about it that makes you feel good is giving cash to a local farmer.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Now, most people wouldn't have done that in the past. They're like, the supermarket's right down the street. I'm not going to drive a half an hour out to the rural area and do this. But now people are doing it. They're making that choice to make that trip to get the good quality food. We bought lots of tomatoes, and that's what we did yesterday. We jarred, you know, tomatoes, and it was great. It's fun.
What do you guys think, you're Italians?
Yeah,
why don't you jar some goddamn potatoes like the Irish?
I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I'm perfecting the tomatoes, but I'm hearing this like behind the scenes. So many people are getting proactive. And then when I find these sites, so many great YouTube sites out there on prepping and jarring, and you go, wow, you know, and you look at the views on these channels, or you go, you know, we have Rural. I don't know if you have, do you have Rural King out there?
Rural King, that's my nickname when I leave the house.
Yeah,
Rural
King. Yep. Hardly. but they, you know, they're constantly sold out of the jars and the water bath pots. They're like, we can't keep them in. Like, okay. That wouldn't have been a while ago, but people are starting to understand that the food crisis is upon us. And, you know, I was talking to Dustin today and, you know, connecting the dots on these at-home PCR tests that people are taking.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are taking these tests. One, they're either mandated by their employer to test every day so that they don't come to work positive, because they will be paid. If you take a COVID test and you're positive, even though you don't feel sick, and you tell your boss that you tested positive, well, they don't want you there. So they're going to pay you. It's not coming off of your time. They're going to pay you. So you have, and then there's the other side of it where your boss isn't mandating it, but you will be paid if you have COVID. So these maniacs are testing like crazy in hopes that they're positive so they can get some time off of work.
That's so, a good idea. I think I might be able to end the show here. I don't feel very well.
You don't feel very well.
No.
So he said at the supermarkets, there is supply in the back. But because people are testing positive and they're not coming to work, they're not putting them on the shelf.
It's a country of hobos is basically what you're telling me.
Pretty much. pretty much. So it's an orchestrated supply chain issue, okay? Because you have, if you're a big corporation, you're telling your people to test. And if you're little and you're not telling your people, well, your people just might be lazy to begin with, and, you know, they want the extra money to stay home. And there's nothing wrong with them. So that, because really, why would anybody, if your boss doesn't require it, why would you be testing at home every day? And the point is there are people doing this. Like people we all know. They're like, oh no, I went to dinner Friday night and it was great. You know, I could feel good going out knowing I tested negative. So why are you testing? Now, I don't see too much of that here. But going by folks up in the north.
Well, this is getting ridiculous. This could change my entire philosophy. We're going to need those Mexicans back if nobody wants to work. I mean, they're not testing. I see these cats, you know. There's going to be a lot. If that happens, there's going to be a lot of pissed off white people trying to cut their grass.
Well,
this is bullshit. It's really hot out here.
It's very, very, very orchestrated. So, in some ways, the powers that be do know what they're doing, because it's these little subliminal enticements that work. So if you say to somebody, hey, you know, all of your at-home tests will be paid for, and you're a believer in all of this, well, you're going to be testing every day. And if one of those tests is wrong, which they all are wrong, but the one test is positive that you can document and upload to your boss and say, yep, here I am, I'm positive. And you're like, oh, week off of work, yay. They're going to, you know, just kick their feet up, because if they're, especially if they're part of that generation disillusionment, they're looking for anything to stay home.
Well, you know? The new Top Gun is coming out, so they want to go see that. I mean, I can understand.
Yeah, I think in a Bob's Burgers or something, I hear kids talking about some, I don't know. So, yeah, you have all these things that are going on simultaneously that, you know, it's like you're watching a tennis match. Like, what's next? Bing, 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 bing. And you go, okay, so we're having orchestrated supply chain issues. But we also know there is the push for the lab-grown meat, to get away from meat, to eat more bugs. There's even a pilot program. Oh, what's it called? The Foods Medicine Movement. I've not looked this up yet. But apparently it is a pilot program by the United States government. And this one is, you know, when Jane was talking about this with the universal basic income, this is about getting people healthier with food. So say fruits and vegetables. So the pilot program is free. You can get free fruits and vegetables, but you would have like a tote bag with a QR code on it. And that QR code is linked up to your profile. So is another way of tracking people. They entice you with free fruits and vegetables. So there's always an angle, you know? And we've seen it coming. The gamification of humans we've seen coming for quite a while.
Well, not to interrupt, because you're on a roll, but I just heard a fucking loud ass plane. Pretty much.
It's Thursday. What's happening?
I don't even have to ask. There's no doubt he's coming back. But that plane, I was like, all right, it's coming right for me. It's one of those ones that sounds like they're coming right for you. Like, whee!
Yeah.
You know, this dive is like bomb. if you lived in Essington, right outside of Philadelphia International Airport. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, it's like crazy. I know he's coming. I'm not even going to check. I guarantee you he's coming home tomorrow for the weekend. And I thought he was going to go down the beach because it was Memorial weekend. We can't get a break. He's coming home. You know, they must be doing something there at the house that they can't get away with in Rehoboth, because he should have been, he hasn't been to the beach for a long time. And I'm thinking, What's going on at the house? They're really putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. It's crazy.
It's not working.
Well, how much longer can this go on? I'm wondering. This is really wild. This guy doesn't know where he's at, doesn't know what he's saying. I think the powers that be, the overlords, are getting a kick out of it. They're like, look at this guy. These guys are this guy's a daily distraction. He's gold. He's gold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're getting their money's worth, that's for sure. You know. And they, you know, that's what he was installed for, just to mock us.
Yeah, I like to make keep making that point that he was installed. It wasn't the people.
Oh, he was definitely installed. You know,
we were robbed. Yes, you were robbed, but long before 2020. It wasn't these things all happened for a reason, right? They all happened for a reason. And just the way, and I'll just make it real quick, and even just the way like Trump fought it, it was like, oh my God, I've been ripped off. My God, terrible. This is tragedy. Send me money, please. This is fake news. Stop the steal. And he like goes back. He actually went back. Think about this. On January 6th. He said, we're going to go over there, and I'm gonna be with you. We're going to march. We're going to march up the Capitol stairs and take back the... And then he went back to the White House, and he was like, oh, can you believe these guys, the way they're dressed? I mean, this is ridiculous. You think you dress better? I mean, this is who's out there representing me. These guys look like street bums. So, I mean, this is like, what the fuck are you talking about? And people were like, he's for me. He's back at the White House making fun of these people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's so dastardly and so devious, the whole plot. And then.
Well, you know, Q said enjoy the show.
Well.
So that was
it's
like,
tough to enjoy the show with three hots and a cot, federal prison, you know? But.
Yeah. Oh, that was something else that was fascinating. A while back when I started, a long time ago, investigating the, following the Q from behind and a lot of the players that are not known, like names that are not known, this is really behind, sub-level. There was a guy who was investigating it, and he was into gaming community. And I'm thinking, okay, this is great, because thinking in my head, researching this and remembering the stuff that I read, because again, I don't know much about alternative reality games. In fact, I know nothing about them. I'm not a gamer. So you read things in the past and you kind of file them in the back of your head. And then you go, wait a second. So if we're gaming out pandemic, oil crisis, food crisis, we're gaming this out. Oh my gosh. This guy was saying that Q was an alternative reality game and a LARP, actually a LARP. Isn't this guy and this woman early on, about 2004, they worked on an alternative reality game together and owned a company together? That blew my mind.
Well, you need a yin and a yang. I've explained this many times. This is what they teach you at Skull and Bones at Yale, right? And in different Ivy League settings, Brown and Dartmouth and, all these different places. Columbia. I spent time at Columbia. I took classes at Columbia for journalism. My wife went to Columbia, right? So I'm up there all the time. For 2 years, I was up there. And they have these like meetings and stuff and these different societies. You're like, what the fuck is this about? Like, I'm busy working these people. I'm going to are you going to the society? And they teach these things that, look, we're all in the same, like Skull and Bones, right? The Bushes and all these different people, they're all on the same team, but then they pretend that there's friction. They pretend that there's like, I'm against him. Yeah, we went to school together, but this is bullshit. I draw the line. And then their agenda is advanced through tension to make it look like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to. I mean, just look. And then it happens. And that's the whole point. But it's a show. It's an art. It's an art form.
Enjoy the show. Exactly.
Look at Nunez. Okay, I'll give you an example. Oh, since people, God.
People look at his lawyer.
People, right? People love this guy. And I knew from minute one, he's like, "We're gonna declassify stuff," and I said, "So fucking do it like now. We're gonna do it." And I said, "It's a show. They're not gonna do anything. Trump's not gonna declassify anything. He never did."
No.
And I used to tell people, these guys are all full of shit. They're not going to do anything. You had the House. You had the GOP at the House. They had the Senate. They had the White House. They did nothing with it. Not a fucking thing.
They all have something going for them, which is gold. Whether you're a politician, whether you're paid for influencer, they don't have to produce results. Because when they don't produce results, it's always the fault of the deep state or some other force. That's how they can continue to collect the money.
Right.
And draw in the crowds, because there's never a consequence for not producing anything that's chatted
these
about
are the guys
rallies.
At dinner and your family and in your friends who just like to talk. They can sell ice to an Eskimo, and you're like, fucking right. Guy, he's an idiot. But they can talk their ass off. Like, holy shit, they come off as real.
Yeah, and that's why they're recruited. They're right. Recruited. A lot of these people, even the, you know, we talk about the influencers being elevated, and we personally know that. But the politicians are as well. They're chosen. In fact, some of them have done the crossover. You get the people to fall in love with the influencer. The people love the influencer so much, they're like, you should run for office. And then that person runs for office, and we talked about this many times, usually in a district they can't win anyway. But even if it's in a district that they can win and they do happen to get in, just a little bit of digging in the connections, you could say, oh, my God, he's tied to this one or she's tied to that one. And this is the donor money and the lobby. Then you start to see, you just weren't like picked up, brushed off. And yes, you would be, you are so good at caring for your fellow citizens that you should run for office and you're going to do a fantastic job. No, that is not always the case. I would say in the higher percentage, that's not the case. Because many of these people are groomed for these positions and they don't produce. And I talk to people all across the country that are a little bit proactive in their local communities or their state level. And I hear the same exact stories, no matter what the people want. And it's brought to the politicians. All they get is lip service and they don't get the results. And then I say, okay, who are they talking to? Pay attention to, you know, the money. When you go to events, see, you know, learn how to lip read if you can. You'll find out a lot. But you'll start to see who's around them, who they're aligned with. And if you pull them off to the side quietly, pay attention to the lip service bullshit that they hand you, because you're going to know it. Just like a lot of the politicians now acting like they're really clueless to the World Economic Forum. And yet, look how many of them are over there. Like, are you kidding me? For 2 years, when people were talking about the World Economic Forum in April of 2020 and things like ID 2020 and tracking systems and all of that, even Brad Parscale was in on an early one called Funware. The tracking systems were out of the gate, all right? But now more and more people are learning about the World Economic Forum. Look how long our politicians have known about it. They never uttered a word in March 2020, April, May, June, all of 2020, all of 2021. How many politicians gave speeches on what the World Economic Forum's blueprint? And again, I hate to use them because I know they're the front organization for the UN's global agenda, but nevertheless, the blueprints are there in books, in white papers, in every corporation with the ESGs or the Fourth Industrial Revolution for your company. It's there. But yet the politicians on their stump speeches never address global issues or how they're going to break the chains that bind us. And not many people know to ask. So I say to people, if you are the brave one that will stand up in a crowd and be the one to ask the questions, fine. And if you're not, at least try to get to them sidebar. But if they start just giving you mumbo jumbo talking points, you know they know, and you know they're a part of it, and nothing is going to be done. And that's why, like you say, we need to live outside the system.
Yeah,
that's really all we need to be focusing on.
I mean, it's been very liberating the last since I started this show, and specifically the last couple months. I'm like, you know, my wife will tell me something about, she hears at work about politicians or this thing, and I say, well, what does that have to do with us? And she stops and thinks, it's like, I guess nothing. I said, look, we're going to rock and roll. We're going to do our own thing. And anybody who wants to fuck with us, they get steamrolled one way or the other, either through lawyers or through trade craft or through just brute fucking force. And that's how I'm going to ride this out for the next 25 years. I'll take on all comers, man. Whatever. You know, I make the rules now in my life, not these fucking people. Plain and simple. Right. And that's how I'm going to roll. And, you know, I fully anticipate friction along the way, and I'm fine with that because I'm making the rules. I'm on offense. Whatever stupid policies you come up with, whatever harebrained schemes you try to do, lockdowns, this, that, and the other thing, force mandates, not happening. Unless you want to get fucked up.
Well, I'm at the point
where it's like, cool, you want to play? I'm playing a different game. And if you want to cross over, right, I'm not listening to you. And if you want to send people, there's going to be problems. So that's where I'm at. I'm in a new mindset.
Yeah, and monkeypox, you know, pops up and we go, oh, look at that. They game that out with the National Threat Initiative. And then, okay, found this information. And all I think of every day is, oh my God, what haven't we found yet? We know it's out there. We know there's something buried somewhere out there that we just haven't come across yet. And more. And not just one thing. I'm sure.
I'm not a big golfer, right? But imagine if you were like at a driving range. People go to driving range. Because I used to caddy as a kid. We used to make a lot, like, good money because you get paid that day. And that's good. You're bringing that money home to buy stuff, you know. Every day you get paid cash. And so, I had a good gig down the road here at a place called Waynesboro Country Club. A lot of people might know that. And used to caddy one or two rounds a day. If you're lucky, you could get in three. So you're walking, like, all day long, carrying two bags and stuff. And you can make a decent amount of money, but a lot of people go to a driving range and just to, like, drive golf balls and just to focus on their game, right? You go to the driving range to hit golf balls and focus on what you're doing wrong and you're practicing, right? I equate a lot of stuff going on that. If I was at a driving range hitting golf balls and I just want to be left alone and focus on what I'm doing, and there were, like, 10 kids at the driving range asking me questions about different things. And you're just like, you don't answer any of the questions. You just focus on your game and you let the kids just yap and run around and be fools, right? And you don't say, hey, stop doing that. Hey, man, settle down. Hey, man. And you just do your thing. That's how I see, like, life now. I'm not paying attention to the little kids running around and tugging at my shirt.
Yeah, you got to stay laser focused.
Focus on the game. Focus, you know, because when you get older, at least for me, I understand that the most precious commodity now is not money. It's time. Time is the enemy. Time is the commodity, because you can have a lot of money. You can have a whole lot of money. And that's what these clowns over in Davos, they know this too. You can have all the money in the world and all the power, but you don't have time. Your time is running out, right? So that's really the commodity when you get older is time. So how are you going to spend your time? Are you going to spend your time worrying about these freaks, or are you going to chart and charter your own course? That's how I see it. I mean, I just...
No, that's the only way to say it. You have to be 100 steps. They've been ahead of us for a while because we didn't, you know, see schemedemic coming. But now that many people do know and are gaming it out for them, for themselves in their real life, it's easy to now get ahead and go around.
It is because they're not wired for you, man. Like I talked to some cats, that are like politicians, like, what do you mean? Said, I just won't listen to anything you fucking say. You pass a law, what are you going to do? You're going to come to my door? That's not going to go very well. So, and they're like,
we
haven't thought about that. I mean, we thought most people would listen to what? No, I'm not going to listen. We'll just move on from you, sir. Good. That's what I want you to do. Leave me the fuck alone.
Right. If you're a doctor that was clueless to the scheme, of course, we've lost faith in you. If you're a politician that truly has no idea what's happening outside your local community or state, and you really don't know that this big machine is running in the background, well, we can't have faith in you either, because isn't that, like, shouldn't you know these things? Like, you know, there's a whole lot going on, and you're choosing not to know. See, I always want to know the why, always. How did this happen? There's got to be a reason. Just like, I think I was telling you a story one time about something that wouldn't open, like an electrical box, and I was on a home inspection with three guys and me, and the box wouldn't open for the main. It was on the outside, and it was the main. Three guys are pulling on it. And they're like, no, maybe the main's in the garage, which was a separate building. And three of them walked away, and I'm like, no, it's a box. It has to open. It has to. And I just started poking around, and here underneath of it was a little lever. And I popped it, and it opened. I was like, gentlemen, come back. And they came back. And no matter what is happening, I need to know why. Because it just doesn't materialize out of nowhere. There has to be an agenda attached to it. And who's responsible for it? Is it my local community? Is it my state? Is it the federal government? Is it the global government? And the more you start pulling back layers, you could find a lot of answers. You might not find all of them, but you can start climbing up that ladder to see the whys. And that is going to lead us to something else. Oh, if they get us to comply with this, it's going to be easy for them to usher in this. And then after this, it's that. So there's already things out there. It's just a matter is to keep getting in front of them. And there are many people equipped to do that. That's where they're going to underestimate.
They've already done it. I mean, they've already... Mm-hmm. You know,
with the vaccine, right? Yeah, that's right. Many people
didn't expect that.
People studying it like I am. I know many people that don't pay attention to podcasts or alternative media or regular media, and their attitude was, I'm not taking a vaccine.
Look at the brothers.
It's good for them.
The brothers I grew up with and the sisters, they're like,